Law, the Valley Group, warm welcome. That would be wonderful. And take it away, Lynette.
Thank you, Two Beer. I am Lynette, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety day is June 5th, 2018. My last drink was June 4th, 2018, about 5 o'clock in the evening. Thank you for inviting me to come and share a little bit of what I've experienced in this program with you guys. Just celebrated my third birthday here in Alcoholics Anonymous. What it was like for me before I got sober, it was first okay. It was actually great because I found a solution to my pain. I started drinking when I was 18, and I drank alcoholically for 30 years. I drank every single day. I wasn't a big partier. I liked to stay at home and drink because the way I drank, I liked to drink a lot. I liked to get really drunk. So I got to the point where I'd see double or triple sometimes, and then I would like to pass out because I drank for the oblivion. I wanted to forget. I wanted to not feel, and that's why I drank. So if I stayed at home, I could drink like I wanted to and achieve what I wanted to, which was that oblivion. I managed to do that, like I said, for about 30 years. Without any legal ramifications, without a lot of, with really no financial losses, I did manage to run a lot of spouses and partners away. They really didn't like to be around somebody that was drunk all the time. And I've only realized that in about the last year and a half that that's why they left. I thought, why in the hell would they ever leave me? But I understand now why they left, for the most part. So I did incur some losses, but they weren't the typical losses of, like, legal and financial. But I kept my job, did okay with all of that. I will say, though, I don't want to spend too much time on what it was like, but I do want to say that my drinking led me to a really dark, lonely prison, self-induced prison. I lived for just getting home from work so that I could drink, living for the weekend so that I could drink. I learned after about 20 years of drinking, I learned about day drinking. Then I learned about 15 years I learned about day drinking. Then I learned about morning drinking. Then I learned about round-the-clock drinking. That was the last 7 months of my drinking career, which it was completely 24/7. In bed, curtains closed, phone shut off, leave of absence from work, or maneuvering work where I called in sick, did this, did that, whatever else I could come up with to just keep my job yet stay home in bed drunk. It was so dark and lonely that one of my friends from childhood that I grew up with, and I love her dearly today, she's very instrumental in my getting sober. She told me, I don't remember this, but she told me that I called her one evening, and asked her to please just come and hold my hand. It was that dark, that lonely. I was that desperate. I needed human contact. And I put myself in such a prison with my alcohol that I couldn't go anywhere, couldn't function, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't shower, couldn't answer the phone calls of my family and friends that were calling to check on me. And, you know, and she came over and she talked to me. She held me in her arms when I blacked out. She cleaned my house. She was sitting in my living room when I forgot that she was there, and I got up to get more vodka. You know, she talked to me. She preached to me. She cried over me. I didn't know that. These are all a lot of things that she told me later on. And none of that did any good. The reason none of that did any good is because I'm an alcoholic, and I'm addicted to alcohol. And someone just telling me, asking me, threatening me, begging me, pleading, crying to quit drinking did nothing for me, because I'm an alcoholic. I chose my alcohol above everything, because I'm an alcoholic. That's what I do. It sounds probably really amazing to people who are not alcoholics, who don't understand that. How could you put your desire, your love for drinking above your kids, above your spouse, above your job, in front of yourself, in front of just getting out and doing things and showering? And it's like, I didn't have a choice, because I was powerless. And I am today. I am still powerless over alcohol today. I am a recovered alcoholic because I've had a spiritual experience in which I've worked the steps, and I, through working the steps, I found the freedom. I've been delivered from that prison that I was in. And the spiritual experience that I've experienced, I've had a lot of spiritual experiences in this program, but the very first one that came to me was God delivered me from the obsession to drink before I ever joined AA. My drinking took me to right on the brink of death, and that's when I still didn't reach out for help from AA, but I did reach out for medical help, and I went to the hospital, and I almost died in the hospital as soon as I got there. I stopped breathing. June 5th, the very next day after I went to the hospital, I went to the hospital on June 4th. That's the only reason that was the last day I drank before I started AA. Because again, I'm powerless. And so when I was in the hospital, it hit me Tuesday evening that on June 5th that I was powerless. I didn't know that I was powerless. I had always thought I was in control of everything in my life. And so when somebody was reading earlier about try some controlled drinking, that kind of made me giggle. I don't know this controlled drinking. I have never tried to stop under any circumstances. I have never tried to slow down. I have never tried to control my drinking. I have never switched from one thing to another to be less of a drunk. My drinking just got progressively worse. To the point where I'm drinking straight vodka with ice in it and doing two shots at the same time of straight vodka. But I realized that night that I was powerless over alcohol, because my thought process led me to know that I was going to go home from the hospital after I felt better. And I had vodka at my house, and I knew that once I went home, I was just going to drink and end up back in the hospital. And that, when I realized that, and I realized that I couldn't stop my drinking, I thought, honestly, addiction to alcohol was just like any other addiction. Addiction to cigarettes, for example. I thought I could quit. Anytime I commit that I want to quit, anytime I set my mind to it, I can quit drinking just like I quit smoking twice. Cold turkey or patch or whatever, I could do that. I couldn't. So when I realized that this was way bigger than me. This was bigger than anything I had ever experienced ever before. And you know what? I had to hit very, very, very bottom before I reached out for help. And I think that's the only way that I know that that's the only way I could ever get help was by hitting that bottom. I keep looking down because I've got my 3-year chip here and I'm a little nervous. That's when I picked up the phone and I called a telephone number. And somebody on the other end of that phone answered. And I said, I need help. I'm in the hospital. I have a drinking problem and I don't know what to do. It was as simple as that. That was the first real blunt, honest thing I've probably said in my lifetime. And that was probably, that was the step that got me here speaking to you guys today. The person on the other end said, don't go anywhere. And I'm like, I'm in the hospital, dude. And he goes, don't go anywhere. He goes, I'll get someone there for you. And I said, okay. I didn't know what to expect. Folks from AA came out about an hour later. They said to me, AA works, and that gave me hope. I never believed or even thought or even hoped that I could ever be sober. I was raised kind of with a God that pretty much is a condemning, fire and brimstone, you're going to hell kind of God if you don't, like, just toe the line, you know. And, you know, and I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not blaming whoever taught me about God, but that's my experience with God. And when I came to AA, I came to my first meeting and I started hearing about God. And my first higher power was my first sponsor, the person that came out and brought the message to me in the hospital. And she was my first higher power because I put all of my faith in her. At the time, she had 3.5 years sober, and I thought, oh, dear God, she has her entire life of sobriety. She has been sober for her whole life, 3.5 years. I thought, oh, my God. And, but I did everything she suggested that I do. Everything. She said, get a sponsor, go to a meeting, don't wait for anybody else to go to a meeting with you, go to a meeting. Go to this meeting, go to this meeting, go to that meeting, go to that meeting. Get a big book, work the steps, read the big book. Even before I started going to meetings, she said, here's a big book, read it. And every night I'd come home from work and I would read one chapter. Not really getting what I was, but she told me to read it. So I was reading one chapter and I was just like, okay, I read this one chapter and I'm going to go to bed before I start drinking about alcohol, or thinking about alcohol. She said, get in a service. 6 months, I have a service commitment. And it wasn't my doing. I received a text from an old timer. Says, hey, by the way, you're the secretary of this particular meeting. And I said, oh, okay. But, you know, that's what our old timers are for. And I love that. But, you know, she said, get in service, work with others, do the steps. You know, I've done some service work. I've been, like Jim talked about, I've been blessed. Right after I got sober, I got into working with everybody for Soberfest. I did that for a couple years, Soberfest and Spring and Sobriety, and that was just amazing. It taught me so much. Getting into service kind of, it keeps me accountable to go to that meeting, and it helps me give back. I'm heavily involved in the Alano Club because the Alano Club is where I called, and the person behind the counter at the Alano Club is the one that got help to me. So I give back to the Alano Club. I'm not saying this stuff to say, hey, this is, you know, look at me, look what I do, woo, woo, woo. No, I'm saying this is what I was taught. This is what I did. And by the grace of God, I'm sober today. Part of it has to do with that. The other part of it has to do with just my faith in God and God delivered me from the obsession to drink. And you know, when I get it, I get out of this program, what I put into this program, I couldn't just get sober and go to meetings and that's it. Or get sober, do the steps and that's it. Or get sober, not do the steps, but take a service commitment. For me, I had to do all the components that my sponsor did that has kept her sober now for 6.5, almost 7 years. And that was my first sponsor. My sponsor now has, 11 years sober. So I'm just doing everything or most everything that everybody that is still sober today has taught me. And that's what I try to pass on to others. And, you know, when I'm asked to speak at a meeting or share at a meeting, do something like this, my answer is yes. Of course, the human inside me that's fearful says no. Oh, my God, no, I can't speak in front of people. That's really scary. But I have that obligation. I have to give back. You know, I don't know that the folks that came out to me in the hospital really wanted to come out and see me at 8 o'clock at night, but they did. And because of their service and because of their commitment to the responsibility of the 12th step, I'm sitting here sober today with the best life that I've ever had ever. And I can't not give that back. I can't not do what they've done. I was broken. I was sad. I was lonely. I lived in fear of everything. I didn't even know what that feeling was until I started working the program and I realized everything in my life, I am afraid. It's all fear-based. And if I get to surrender that to God, if I'm in the right place spiritually and I surrender that fear to God and I surrender all my worries to God, then I'm free to just walk through my day happy and joyous. And when I do that, when I start my day out with prayer, when I start my day out reading my motivation books, you know, my devotions, when I start my day out by reaching out to somebody in the program or responding to somebody that reaches out to me, then I have a much better day. When I ask for God's will to be done in my life, it works out a lot better for me. Now, I am human. I am not perfect by far. And all throughout my day, I have to pause and turn things over to God. Lately, it's been work. Work is stressing me out. You know, because I get sober, and guess what? Now I have to deal with life sober. I told somebody the other day they were upset about something, and I said, you get the luxury of being able to, because they had mentioned that they had, I don't know, drank a couple glasses of wine. And I said, you get that luxury. I don't. I have to deal with life sober, in real, real, real terms. And it's hard. I will tell you, it's hard. I will tell you, it would be impossible if I wasn't working the program. It would be impossible for me to get through life every single day sober if I wasn't working the program. And I will tell you that as hard as it is to deal with life sober, because let's face it, I have crap that goes on in my life. We all do. I lost my best friend, my dog, like a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I lost another dog a year before that. I lost, you know, I've had losses. I've had breakups. I've had pain. I've had frustration and stress, physical pain. I had COVID. That sucked. You know, these are all just real life things, you know, and they hurt and they're disgusting and they're frustrating and they're stressful and I worry, but I'm dealing with this sober and I get to deal with it sober today. Because of this program. And I will say this, that even though it's hard dealing with life sober, I'm working the program, and my hardest, toughest, crappiest day sober, my most painful day sober, is far better than any day I have had drunk. Far better. I get through it. I reach out to somebody in the program. I call my sponsor. I hit my knees. I just sit and have a good cry for 5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And I move forward. And that's what I do sober. I know what it's like to drink. I know what it's like to go through crap drunk. I got that nailed. Got a lot of practice in it. 30 years. Now I'm putting the practice into doing things sober. I love that I'm more present. I love that my family can call me, and they now actually call me, even after 7 o'clock at night sometimes, even after 6 o'clock at night, because I'm not drunk, and nobody likes to talk to a drunk. So they call me. I leave my phone ringtone on at night in case somebody from AA calls. And guess what? I'm not going to be passed out. I'm not going to be so knocked out from drinking that I can't answer that phone. I'll hear that phone, and I'll be able to pick that phone up. And that's what I like to do. I want to give back because I want to give what was given to me. That's how I stay sober. I sponsor people very selfishly. I sponsor people so I can stay sober. And I encourage them to sponsor people so they can stay sober. Hey, that's what Bill and Bob did. We're all just trying to follow in their footsteps. It worked for them. It's worked for a lot of people. And it's working for me today. It can work for all of us here. If you're new, it can work for you. This program, I was told a long time ago, this program is not for people who need it. It is, however, for people who want it. If you need it and you want it, that's great. But if you need it and don't want it, you gotta want it. I wanted it more than anything in the world because I hit bottom and knew I was gonna die. And I wanted to live. I wanted to live. Because I'll tell you, I spent a lot of years wanting to not live. I spent a lot of years wanting to die. Not really to just die, but just I didn't want to live. But when it came down to I was at that point of dying, I had to do a reality check for myself. Do I want to go ahead and go through with this? Because if I wanted to go ahead and go through with this, I would have gone through with it and not gone to the hospital. And boy, am I glad that there was something still left in me that didn't want to die. Something tiny in there. This program, my big book is every problem that I have. Either I can either find a solution for it in the big book. I can call anybody that has called in on this line tonight and ask them. If they don't know, they'll tell me they don't know, and they'll get the answer, and they'll point me in the direction. I can call my sponsor. I can call anybody in the program. I can look it up in the big book. This program this program for me is not about staying sober, or not drinking, I should say. This program is about living life sober. That's part of what I am learning. My sponsor told me the other day, actually she told me when I hit 3 years, which was the other day. She says, I'll be so glad when you hit 5 years. And I said, what's going to happen in 5 years? She goes, your head's going to pop out of your ass. And I was like, well, I'm 3 years old. I know everything there is to know about this program and about life, don't you know? I'm awesome and amazing. She goes, check back with me when you hit 5 years and you hear that pop and your head pops out of your ass. She goes, then you're going to know life's real. And You know what? I'll stick around until the 5-year mark, and if I do hear a pop, if I don't hear a pop, I'm going to be calling her, going, "Hey, what the hell?" But you know, she knows what she's talking about because she's been there. I know what I'm talking about for the last 3 years because I've been there. I know what it's like to lay in bed or to sit in your house, drunk off your ass, lonely, sad, tired, hurting, not being able to go anywhere because I'm drunk. Not being able to, you know, call anybody because I'm drunk. You know, dreading tomorrow because I got to not be drunk in order to function for work. Getting up in the morning and feeling like I'm 97 years old. Stomach churning, puking. Got to get a shot or two in me before I can even hit the shower and let alone brush my teeth. God, the gagging when you brush your teeth drunk or hungover. And man, just having to carry that bottle around everywhere you go and having to hide it. You know, vodka was cool. You could hide it in a water bottle. It's clear. But everywhere I went, you know, thinking, okay, nobody can smell it. I mean, I'll give my mom a big hug. She can't smell vodka. Vodka's supposed to be, like, odorless, isn't it? No, it's not. I was hiding things and thinking I was cool and thinking I had it all together because, but I didn't. I thought I had it under control. I didn't. It's not something I can control. I am powerless over people, places, and things. I do have control over how I react to things. That is something that my sponsor will tell you it's a big trial for me right now. How do I respond to things? How do I respond to people when they don't live up to my expectations, when they don't do what I want them to do? If everybody would do what I wanted them to do, it would be a beautiful world, wouldn't it? But guess what? If I don't have expectations, I can't be disappointed. And that's what I'm trying to learn in this program is not have expectations. Turn it over to God. Let him handle it. And you know what? When he handles it, he does such a better job than, but I have to let him handle it. I have to admit to him that I am powerless over alcohol. I'm powerless over my drinking. I'm powerless over the people that I work with. I'm powerless over the weather. I'm powerless over gas prices. I'm powerless over who's in office. I'm powerless over a lot of things. I'm powerless. But that's okay. Because when I realized that and I did the third step and I surrendered to God everything, there was a huge burden that was lifted off of me. Huge burden. I felt such a relief because I realized I've been carrying this burden around with me for a long time thinking I had to be perfect. I had to please. I had to live up to my mother's expectations. I had to do this or that to try to get into heaven when I died. I had to be there for this person and be there for that person. And I couldn't have faults and I couldn't have defects and I couldn't. And the fact of the matter is, when I got real and I got honest with myself, I don't have to please anybody. I got to please God. I do have defects. I have a lot of them. And I have to ask God to remove them every day, sometimes several times a day. And then I have to ask God to forgive me for my shortcomings. And sometimes I have to make amends. And every night I do the 10th step, which is I take an inventory and I ask myself, was I honest? Did I lie? Was I kind and loving to others today? Did I reach out to somebody in recovery? Did I pray to God today? I have to ask myself those things because that's the 10th step. I have to do the 11th step. I have to maintain my conscious contact with my higher power. And I have to do the 12th step, which is talk to you guys tonight and carry the message. Even more importantly than that, I've got to practice the principles in all my affairs. That's probably the one thing that I probably dropped the ball on the most. I forget. I can be in an AA meeting and be, oh, yeah, yeah, God, and I'm a good person. And the second I get out and I go to work the next morning and I'm yelling and bitching at everybody because they're not doing what I want them to do and they're not living up to my expectations, that's me not practicing the principles in all my affairs. And by the end of the day, then I've got to sit there and do that 10 step, do that inventory, and then by the next day, I've got to make some amends. And that sucks. But you know what? It gets better. I'm a little better on some days, not so good on some days. Some days are just, I'm a Butterfly in the Park. I will again tell you, if you're new, I'm still new. I thought, though, believed with everything in my heart up until about 3 years and a couple of weeks ago that I was doomed. There was no hope. I would never be able to not drink. I was destined to die a drunk alcoholic. I was already making plans on how to get alcohol into the nursing home because I don't have kids. They ain't one not going to take care of me. And I got to go in the nursing home and have dementia because my sister's a nurse in a nursing facility. And she said alcoholics can get dementia when they're old. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have dementia. I better already set it up. How am I get alcohol in there? You know, God, it was horrible. I didn't have hope and it was dark. That's what it was like. What happened, I reached out to AA and AA carried the message to me. That's what happened. What it's like today, I am blessed. I have God in my life. I have a good relationship with God. I have a whole family of AA folks. I celebrated my third birthday last Saturday at a party at my sponsor's house, and one of my friends was there that is not a member of AA, and she looked around at all those people, and she goes, did you get all these friends in AA? I said, I sure did, and there's a lot more. You guys are my family. You're not my family by blood. But you know what? Kind of think maybe alcohol is a little thicker than blood sometimes because you guys are my family by alcohol. You know what I'm talking about when I say I was dark, desperate, scared, lonely, sad, hurting, and in pain, and I didn't know what to do. So today, I have my family. I have God. I have the steps. I am in service. I work the steps. I work with other alcoholics. I see my sponsor on a regular basis. I talk to my sponsor once or twice a day. I pray. I read my books. I try to reach out to somebody in AA every day. And I'll tell you what, I live a really good life today. And when I say that, I don't mean I have tons of money. I have no pain. And I don't have gray hair and I don't have pimples. I don't know how you get gray hair and pimples at the same time, but I got them. Okay, so got one right there. But I'm saying my life isn't perfect, but I am happy. That peace that I longed for in my way down in there that I never had, that I thought external things could fill me with that peace, like, you know, just listening to, you know, positive affirmations. And I love those. Don't get me wrong. Those are good. And I'm going to wrap this up here. But I realized that to get that peace, it comes from inside out. So I have that peace today. I have that happiness today. I have the support of my AA family. I have love in my heart, and I feel love. I feel a lot of love because guess what? I'm sober today. I get to feel things. So not only do I get to feel the sadness of, like, say, losing my dog, which hurt like fuck, by the way, but I also get to feel the good things. Like last Saturday, with 25 people surrounding me and laughing for hours on end with no alcohol. I'm here to tell you, you can have fun without alcohol. So I'm going to sum it up by real quick. If you're new, there is hope. AA works. All you got to do is reach out and want it and then do what's suggested. And I promise you, I guarantee you, if you do that, do what's suggested, reach out for help and want it and work the program, you will be sober, you'll be happy, you'll be joyous, you'll be free, you'll be strong, you'll be courageous. Thank you so much for the invitation to talk and share my message. And I'm Lynette, and I am a very grateful recovered alcoholic.